true.
Some it can't be just as files.
Welcome to the Summit County Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform, educate, and engage with our community.
Indeed we are. Now, before we get started, Tom, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories here on the Justice Files. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it. We've got a loitering issue at Copper Mountain.
Yeah.
I used to see signs around that say no loitering.
No loitering, yeah. Right?
It used to drive me crazy. I had to look it up in the dictionary. It's like, what is this loitering?
What and constitutes just, loitering?
What a heinous offense this loitering seems to be. So, yeah, what constitutes loitering?
Hanging out on private property where you have no business and someone asks you to leave. Now you're loitering. I mean, that's what it really, in layman's terms, that's what it means. You're on my property. I don't like it. I ask you to leave, and you give me that look.
Oh, that look. What?
And I go, okay, I'll just call the police. So, you know, this is one of these things where, you know, between Frisco and Copper Mountain along I-70 there, lots of people find themselves either or dropped off by the Greyhound bus in Frisco from who knows where on their way east or west. They get kicked out of a car because they've been hitchhiking and someone decides they're creepy and maybe they're going to throw them out of the car. All kinds of reasons that we come across people that get reported as loitering around businesses, private residences, private property, because they just find themselves abandoned somewhere along the interstate there. And as we know, Frisco and Copper are the two towns that are connected by the interstate. And it just seems like those are the collection points. Frisco being on the east end, Copper on the west, but there is that Greyhound bus station in Frisco. And it seems like when we have domestic violence fights that are happening across the state, you know, in a car, that for some reason, I don't know if it's the picturesque 10 Mile Canyon, the river running through it. I don't know what it is that attracts, like, this is a great place to throw someone out of the car. or dead bodies that we have found along I-70.
In Officer's Gulch.
In Officer's Gulch, along right. That stretch. So, yeah. I mean, even as far as dumping murdered people, it seems to be just a place to be.
So this was a live person that was dumped.
Yeah, this was a live guy that the deputies came across. And they offered to take him back to Frisco, and we are, you know, luckily we are able to offer most of the time to people a Greyhound bus ticket, a way out of here, because, you know, the days of dropping someone off on a county line are no longer. So we offered to take him back to Frisco and put him on a Greyhound bus, and he declined. He said that he was on his way to California and that he would leave the property, but that he would figure out what he was doing. And sometimes these people are just cross-country hitchhikers that are cross-country / backpacking or, you know, hoboing across the country. And that might have been this guy's case. But, you know, there was no criminal interdiction needed. And so we just, he left the property, he went on his way, and we went the other way.
So what should a property owner do if they suspect somebody of loitering on their property?
You mean before or after they give them the look?
Probably before.
Hey, there you go, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago in the Justice Files where someone was beating someone in their backyard, and the homeowner came out there with a gun.
Yeah.
And broke up the fight. So we don't encourage that, but we do encourage just call. If you feel your life is in any danger, threatened, great bodily harm or death, call 911. If you don't think it's that much of an urgency, you can always call non-emergent dispatch. But deputies will always go sort it out for you. I mean, that's what we do, right? We interface with the public and we try to mediate any of these things. And truly, and we've talked about this so many times in so many instances, we're also looking out for the health and welfare of the person, both mental and physical. Mental, because you could be in a state if you were just thrown out of a car. And physical, because of we talk about all the time, our changing weather and our cold temperatures at night. We also have the problem with, you know, when it does get hot here in the summer, that sun is, we're pretty close to the sun. We can almost touch the sun.
It feels hot.
It feels hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have people suffer from, too much sun as well. So that's why they are of grave concern to us.
And thank you for the deputies for taking care of these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making sure that they get on their way. And there's an issue of trespassing. Somebody broke into a car in unincorporated Breckenridge, and they didn't manage to get into his car, but did a little damage.
Yeah, they did some damage. And what's interesting about this is that, you know, we usually see these in strings. Like, so when we were investigating this one, we found out that whoever tried to break into this car also tried to break into a neighbor's car. But, you know, you and I talk about these, that it usually happens at trailheads, especially now in the spring. You know, that people are starting to go on trails and they leave valuables exposed in their car and people broken into. But these were at a couple residences, and we have had in the past where it is someone working through a neighborhood and there's a string of these. And so we tried to see if there was and if they were connected. And just before you and I started recording this, I went and checked with our detectives going, was it this only two or were there more? And they said, well, actually, this happened. This was reported at the same time as we broke that news last week of a burglar here that ran from the police in Breckenridge. And we ended up catching the next day in Frisco. And they actually thought it might be related to this person. But it turns out they're completely unrelated. Same geographical area, same time frame, totally unrelated. Who would know?
Yeah.
Interesting, though, right?
That similar events would happen so close together, totally unrelated.
Yeah. And in this case, you know, we're still out there sifting through the evidence to see if we can come up with fingerprints or something like that to try to catch these folks. So it doesn't... It'll continue if we don't catch them.
Still an open case.
Still an open case.
All right. There is a woman whose vehicle is mostly stored at an apartment building in Wilderness, reported that her front license plate had been stolen.
Yeah, you know, over the years, you and I have talked about this, where we've had a rash of stolen cars. In fact, call from Denver to Grand Junction.
Well, and some people don't even know about it until they get the ticket in the mail, some violation from some other state.
Yes.
That was charged to their plate that's missing from their car.
So what's usually happening, two things usually happen in cases like this. Either way, they're crooks, but either the crook is stealing the plate because they are going to put it on a stolen car and this car is currently registered and they try to get similar kind of car. And hope that law enforcement doesn't run the license plate in the big computer system. Or the other version is as simple as you haven't paid your registration all year and you don't have any money to pay your registration. And it used to be that people used to just peel off the registration tabs and then restick them on your plate. But, you know, in recent times, they've been now designed to where they tear. Like, if you've ever, by mistake, tried to move your own and gone, oh, my gosh, it falls apart in your fingers,
right. You
got to be careful. So what people do now is they'll actually go steal a license plate that has current registration that's a similar car, make, color, model to theirs.
But if it's a front plate, there theoretically are no stickers.
Not for the stickers. They'll usually do that for the stolen car. But I'm saying there's two versions of this where we get rear plates stolen as well as front plates, and sometimes they'll remove both plates. So we hardly ever find them until, like you just said, until we're telling a story of someone reported that their car's, you know, $5,000 fees in these express lanes, and they failed to report their license plate missing, but their license plate's been missing forever. This is what happens. So fraud. At the end of the day, it's all a fraud.
So do we know if this woman's plates were used in any nefarious ways on a stolen vehicle and racked up any fines?
Not yet, but okay. This woman was smart enough to call law enforcement right away.
Good.
A lot
good.
Of people don't, because she said that she was aware of things like this happening and wanted to, law enforcement to be aware that she just noticed it gone in case any crimes do occur with her license plate.
So in case you have a missing license plate on your vehicle, front or back, yes, report it.
Hey, or if you have this woman's missing license plate,
yeah.
If you could bring it back.
Bring it back. She'd appreciate that.
That'd be great.
Yeah. There's a group of intoxicated friends that were hanging out in their Keystone apartment, and an argument broke out. How about that?
Yeah, you know, what do we always talk about, Tom? Nothing ever ends well that starts with drugs or alcohol, yep. or in excess, right? People
right.
drinking and using drugs. We all know that there's the recreational users out there, but even sometimes that turns bad. But yeah, this is one of those ones that turned into a fight between friends. And someone called 911. The deputies go there to investigate it. And as sometimes happens, as happened in this case, all of a sudden the people that called 911, it kind of sobered them up when the cops walked up and they decided that, you know, the story kind of changed and they couldn't really remember the other guy's name. And, you know, gosh, I've sort of got amnesia when I saw the marked black and white in that uniform walk up.
I'm guessing that happens frequently.
Oh, my gosh.
Amnesia kicks in. What's the law enforcement term for that? There's got to be a term for that.
Oh, it's probably something we can't say on the air.
It's like black and white amnesia or something like that.
It's like black and white fever.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, you know, whenever a cop car pulls behind you in the rear. I mean, listen, even I get this, right? 35 years in law enforcement. If I'm on the road and a police car gets behind me, I all of a sudden get that queasy feeling in my stomach, like, oh my God, am I doing something wrong? Am I speeding? Am I, you know, and then all of a sudden they make a turn around you or something. But
wow.
even here am I, who's been in law enforcement forever and a day,
right?
That I still, when I look in that rearview mirror or that side mirror and see that police car, go, oh my God, what did I do?
I think right away that I have a light out. Because at my age, the speed limit is no longer a challenge.
Right. Exactly.
Speaking of roads and traveling, people have some issues with other drivers on the road. There's a road rage incident that got reported. One man was driving under the speed limit, and the other tried to pass him. But somehow the driver going below the speed limit didn't want that guy passing him.
You know, I want to say it almost seems like, but we do talk about a road rage or two like every week.
Every week. There's always an incident.
What does that say about our open highways here?
Well, there was
These
a study.
These are mountain roads.
There was a study that just recently came out that rated Colorado as third in the nation for road rage, behind Louisiana and New Mexico.
Oh, so wait a minute. So maybe these bigger cities, there's so much congestion that road rage is impossible?
Apparently.
Maybe it's the open roads in the Rocky Mountains, the open mountain roads in the Rocky Mountains that are probably the most dangerous roads to participate in this kind of activity.
It's all the altitude. I think it just sucks the oxygen out of everybody's brains. And
I think you might have hit it there.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it.
They have a little oxygen deficiency and it just leads to road rage.
But this is also a black and white amnesia story.
Uh-huh.
Where these guys ended up even where one car forced the other car into the median. I mean, it got to a point where they almost literally hit each other. They chased each other to a local apartment building, got out of the car, and then engaged in a fist fight. And of course, when the cops showed up, they didn't want to press charges on
who called
other.
This one in?
Someone actually witnessing the road rage.
Okay.
And so if we don't have someone to sign, you know, to witness a ticket to sign for the road rage.
Sure.
We have to depend on the two people that are involved in this for someone to dime out the other. And in this one, even though it ended up in a fist fight, they both decided that the fist fight was enough punishment for both of them. And they decided not to cooperate with law enforcement.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some people do that. Yeah.
But, you know, again, endangering people. Let's see if next week we don't have any road rage incidents.
We'll see if we can work on that.
It's really a beautiful place to live, work, and play.
Is. Yeah.
There's no reason to get into road rage incidents.
It's that oxygen deficiency. It's got to be. Well, the ski season's wrapping up. There's still a few areas that are getting some skiing and riding done before it all goes away. But when you see somebody this time of year wearing a ski mask and they're not on the slopes, that tends to be a bit suspicious now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is an update from that story we talked about last week where a neighbor sees someone coming out of a neighbor's home that they know is unoccupied, and the person's wearing a ski mask and gets into a car and takes off. No car that the person's, you know, the neighbor's never seen. And luckily for us, the person was vigilant enough to call 911 immediately. This ended up, as we talked about last week, kind of in the moment, this ended up the cops chasing him all the way to Frisco to where this guy abandoned the car, took off. We looked for him forever on foot and with drones, unable to find him. The next morning, someone else calls because they come to their car and they find this guy sleeping in their car with the ski mask on.
Still on.
We don't catch the smart ones. Still on. The owner of the car retrieves this person, throws them out. Kid starts running. And all of a sudden, the guy thinks to himself, you know, maybe I should call 911. Thank God for us, he did. We did locate this kid. He was good or is good for a number of burglaries on the Front Range. And lo and behold, the car was stolen, as we talked about. He was going to steal this other guy's car. But as this investigation continued during that second day, we found out that he was good for some crimes here in Summit County. So he's been charged with a number of felonies. And he is currently, as we sit here and talk, just next door to us here in the Summit County Jail.
Hanging out in the detention center.
He's hanging out in the detention center, and he'll be there for quite a while. His bond was increased to some crazy bond, but because they don't want this guy, obviously, out. He is a community risk.
Yeah, obviously.
There's obviously no doubt that he's a community risk. So.
Now, what's the process from here on in? I mean, he's in custody. How long is he going to be there? What sort of wheels of justice turn, and how long does it take?
Well, those are all great questions. He will be here. So what happens is to anyone that gets, we have what you call a pretrial services program here. And what that means is that anybody that gets arrested and actually booked into our jail gets screened. And they get screened, and it's a pretty intense screening process, but the screening process is to determine whether, at the end of the day, is to determine whether you're a community risk or not. And what level of risk you are to the community. And if you fall within this algorithm, this risk assessment, it's recommended, you know, all this information submitted to the judge. And when you go to your first hearing for the judge, it's the judge who decides what your bail is. If you qualify for a personal, you know, a signature release, personal recognizance, they call it PR bond, or whether or not you are too much of a risk to society and that you're not going to be released pre-trial. In other words, before you go to court. In this case, obviously, he failed this assessment, and the judge gave him a high bond, and his only next option for him not to stay in jail until he goes to trial would be to be bonded out, if someone will bond him out. And that's up to a bonding agent, and that's up to someone speaking up for this guy and putting up the bond. So I imagine in this case, knowing what I know about this, that he will probably stay in jail until the court proceedings. So he will remain in jail until he goes to trial
and
or
not be
pleads
a threat.
Out one of the, you know, or goes to prison.
Yeah,
on a sentence. He did not qualify for pretrial release, so he will be here. And that, of course, now you're on the court's time, right? Everyone qualifies for a speedy trial, but those can all put off with lawyers. And so when you say time, I mean, it can go from quickly to extremely slow, depending on lawyers now and the court schedule.
And we'll look forward to following up and see what happens with this guy.
It will be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Another story that we want to do a follow-up on, an update on the death, the body that was found in the Dillon Reservoir by the Frisco Peninsula, the disc golf course.
Yeah. As we talked about last week when this was going on during this chase.
Yeah.
This guy was found in the lake by some people, some kids playing there, recreating along the lakeshore. What a discovery.
It's a great disc golf course, by the way.
It is a great disc golf course. And one of those holes are right there.
Right by the water.
Yeah. I think you were saying that I know exactly where it is.
Oh, yeah. The bike path goes by there, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
It turns out that this guy was a guy that was reported missing out of Minnesota back in November. So what was really cool about it was, sometimes when we find dead bodies here in the mountains, and I say that because, as you know, we find them often, either in the forest or in the lake. This guy had been missing, his family had been looking for him, and it did bring some, I say quick closure. It's been since November for the family, but at least it didn't sit here with us trying to figure this out for another 6 months or a year. So as soon as the body was discovered, at least then it provided for some, quick closure for the family, which is always awesome. Sad, tragic, terrible what happened. I don't know that we'll ever know what happened. It appears that he had been in the lake and probably under the ice since the lake froze, in December? I think it froze late this year, though.
Yeah.
But whenever it froze, he was in
the ice. Wow.
And probably wandered out there at some point and then got buried in the snow and ice. And as it melted, and as we talked about last week, we're not at the point where we're putting boats on the lake yet. So we would have found it someone probably would have found him sooner because of all the boats on the lake. But since there were none, just had to drift in and for these kids to find.
And it's going to be a while before we hear from the coroner as far as cause of death.
Yeah, the coroner will release cause and manner. Mm-hmm. They'll run a toxicology screen, which usually takes the longest to see if any drugs or alcohol were also on board. But we should know the next release of any information will come from our coroner's office.
All right. We'll look forward to getting more closure on that issue as well. Let's talk about fraud. That's something that, again, it's a regular occurrence here on the Summit County Justice Files. And there's been some incidents of fraud with the WhatsApp app. What's going on with this?
Yeah, this was an interesting one. This is one where someone got scammed, or I should say the scammers demanded $5,000, or they were going to release a video, an explicit video of this guy, again, on social media to all his family and friends. And what they did was, for all you Facebook people and social media people, these scammers, these fraudsters, these crooks got this person's Facebook profile photo with AI, put it into explicit video where it was now with child pornography, and created this fake, deep fake video, and to the point where it really scared this poor person, and they ended up making two wire transfers to this crook, totaling only $600, because that's every penny this person had, unfortunately.
Man.
But this is part of this victim was part of our immigrant community who seems to, be a target for some of these frauds, because they don't understand. Some people don't understand how the internet works, social media works, how regenerated images work. And this person, although it turned out to be a deep fake video, couldn't understand how this could be and was so terrified of it getting out that sadly succumbed to this scam and gave them literally every penny they had.
Wow.
So really sad. And of course,
and there's no way to recover any of that.
No, because what we were able to find out is where they wire transferred the money was to the Dominican Republic. So we'll never be able to follow up on that.
Let's jump down to this other fraud issue, another WhatsApp fraud. A man in unincorporated Breckenridge received a strange message on WhatsApp. I'm growing very cynical over this app, by the way. And then some text messages from an unknown number, including pictures of some people with guns. And by text, they threatened to kill the man. They knew his name, which was very concerning to the man.
Yeah, so this is another interesting one where, I mean, these things are becoming more sophisticated all the time, and especially with as sophisticated as you know, regeneration of images happens. So this is one where they obviously, it could even be, because it's the same time frame as this other Dominican Republic one, so it could have been the same thing. The reason why we don't know is because they didn't complete the act. The victim didn't fall for it, and so we don't have any wire transfers going anywhere. But it's the same app, and it's the same kind of sophisticated scam where they got an image of the person, they got images of their family off their social media, and then they posted images of people with guns and said that they were going to go kill all their family members if they didn't pay them. And it can look really real because they are, you know, they're getting all these photos of you and your family from social media. You hear this all the time about don't post. And what does everyone do? They post. And this is sadly what can happen if you do that.
Wow.
Luckily, this guy didn't fall for it, which is great. Nothing happened, of course. And We won't be able to trace it because nothing actually occurred, so there's nothing to trace. But I imagine it's too similar to the one that happened to the guy that paid. Same app, too, that I imagine was probably the same scammers or group of scammers. Sometimes this happens like in old-school boiler rooms, right? Like they set up apartments where people are doing nothing but running these scams. So I wouldn't doubt that that's what happened.
Beware of the scammers.
Beware.
They're out there, and they'll text you, they'll send you an email, and there is no rich prince in Nigeria that's looking to share his wealth.
You know, I got that one this week.
Did you really?
Yeah, $10 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I also got one similar to this where they said, hey, we see you online, and we're going to send this to da-da-da. This is the last notification you'll get. Don't call the police, you know. By you opening this email, we are already now into your system. I just deleted it. You know what I mean? Report is junk. But people, those scams. I mean, Tom, you and I talk about on the radio every Thursday.
Yeah.
Scam, scam, scam. Don't. If it sounds crazy, it probably is. Hang up. Call law enforcement.
Don't send money or gift cards.
Oh, my. Don't send anything.
No, not a Hang good up. Idea. This is the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 in the Sheriff's Office with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons in the Summit County Justice Center. And we're bringing you the Justice Files every week, and then we talk on the radio every Thursday morning at about 7:45. You can catch a couple of minutes of conversation and catch up on what's happening in the Sheriff's Office. On the Justice Files, Copper Mountain Security called for assistance with a highly intoxicated man who was sitting in a parking lot, was unable to get back to his unit.
Yeah, this again is sort of like the one we started the top with about, you know, people wandering around loitering.
Mm-hmm.
But this was someone that was so intoxicated. Again, we take all these calls seriously because of the environment we live in. These things can turn deadly quickly. This guy was so intoxicated that we had to call an ambulance for him and get him to the hospital because of the condition, the physical condition he was in. So it was a great call. I only bring it up again because A, drugs or alcohol. B, our environment is not the place to be stuck outside in the middle of the night so intoxicated that you don't even know where you are.
Any time of the year.
Any time of the year. Yeah. I mean, like you said, low oxygen. I mean,
yeah.
No, if you took out all the weather factors, it's just being at 10,000 feet and having no oxygen that absolutely has an effect. Someone told me the other day that having a drink at altitude is like having it's three for one. It's like one for three. Having a drink at altitude is like having three drinks.
Which works the other way around if you go down to sea level. It takes you three drinks to equal one drink up here. So I guess it all evens out somehow.
So what you're saying is you can drink cheaper up here.
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah, catch a buzz a lot cheaper up here.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Nice. You're only buying one.
Yeah.
And you'd have to buy three of those expensive drinks down yeah, below.
Exactly.
Oh, okay then. Well. Here on this mountaintop or
Seven County Justice Files talking about the wild, wild life. There's a rabbit at large. Animal control officers called to a home where a woman had found a rabbit in her driveway.
Yeah, what's interesting about this is that, you know, our animal control, God bless them, people call our animal control for everything that has to do with animals. And our animal control handles domestic animals, and they also deal with calls involving livestock. We don't deal with wild animals. And here's one where someone found a rabbit that was pregnant, and they couldn't tell whether it was a real rabbit, or I should say real, but a domesticated rabbit or a wild rabbit. And they were able to confirm that it was a domestic one, and they tried to catch it. And it's still loose somewhere in that neighborhood. Probably had its babies by now. But we get these calls all the time, which leads into this next wildlife call.
A woman walking her dog on the path between Breckenridge and Frisco, and her dog came across and sniffed a dead hawk. Not something you see on the rec path every day.
No. So, but these are the things... Tom, that you know, our listeners probably don't realize that, you know, besides wild people, we have a lot of wildlife here. We have a lot of, do we see a lot of wildlife, whether it be eagles, whether it be ospreys, whether it be hawks, eagles, moose, bear, deer, elk. I mean, we can go on and on. Fox. All the foxes are having babies right now, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah, this is the time of the year.
But, you know, what's interesting is that our animal control, as I just said, is we don't, our animal control doesn't deal with wildlife, but we do have a lot of interaction with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, who have a wildlife manager in the county here that we do a lot of work with because of the amount of involvement we have with wildlife. I mean, to the point that currently, today, I think, Breckenridge Police Department put out a post about a wounded moose that's walking around the town of Breckenridge. That's actually spent some time here at the Justice Center outside of our lobby, just laying in the willows, that Colorado Parks and Wildlife is aware of, and they won't interfere with wildlife unless it's life-threatening or threatening a person. And they don't consider this wound of this moose life-threatening. But it's gotten to the point, and I'm just trying to drive the point home here about wildlife, it's gotten to the point where Breckenridge Police had to put out a post saying, please do not call 911 anymore about this moose. We're all aware of this moose. The moose is fine. Colorado Parks and Wildlife won't intervene as long as it's eating and healthy and, you know, not attacking people. And this moose just has it appears to be a broken or some sort of infection maybe in its leg. The Colorado Parks and Wildlife thinks that it's young enough and healthy enough that it'll just fix itself and eventually wander off into the woods.
Well, and to Colorado Parks and Wildlife's credit, they have a whole network of volunteers come out, and they for like cases like the hawk, when you find some sort of a wildlife animal on your property or just something, some interaction with wildlife, I mean, these volunteers know how to deal with that with CPW. They've been trained, and they have the connections with Parks and Wildlife to remove the wildlife if necessary
safely,
and to help it heal if that's
and to get it to where it needs to go to heal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it brings me to, for our locals that might be listening, this is moose season.
Mm-hmm.
And people that might be listening or coming to visit Summit County, let's not approach the moose. We get more moose calls of people claiming the moose attacked them when it was really them trying to take the selfie with the moose with their dog under their arm.
Oh,
and the moose suddenly attacks. And it turns out that we really haven't had any just random moose attacks. They've all been encouraged attacks by people behaving badly around moose.
Yeah, first of all, moose.
Or is that meese?
Moose. It's mooses.
Mooses, not meese.
Yeah, yeah. But moose do not like dogs.
No.
That's one of those.
It's in their DNA. It's their
natural
enemy.
Yeah, natural predator for the moose. They're wolves, obviously.
Well, now that we have wolves.
Yeah. So
we're waiting for wolf encounters next.
Just wait.
Don't pet that pretty German shepherd.
No, not at all. Or that husky that looks so nice and fluffy. That's nice puppy. No, I mean, the trails are getting clear of snow and people are out walking, and that's where you'll encounter moose at any random location in Summit County.
Yeah. I've seen a few out my early morning runs already. Yeah. I mean, they're out. They're coming out. Everything is coming out.
Yeah, it is the season that everybody comes out, not just the wildlife, but humans as well.
Hey, and apparently the drunks.
Yeah, well, everybody.
Well, you know, you did say wildlife. I was just trying to separate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one you were referring to.
The Summit County Justice Files. That is a wrap for this week. I'm Tom Fricke here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, along with the Summit County Justice Center and all the deputies that help out. Remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and just to be clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friend, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, maybe don't. It never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. Find them online at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is The Justice Files, where law meets laughs, and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.